And we are going to get right into the word this morning. So today, we are back in John 17, in the life of Christ. We will look at verses 17 through 19 here this morning. And as always, out of respect for God's word, I would ask everyone to please stand now for the reading of God's word, because these are the words of the living God. So the Lord's Prayer here in John chapter 17, and remember, we're saying this really is the Lord's Prayer. He prays for his people, for his church. This is an incredible prayer, and I hope that we've all come to appreciate it more over these weeks. It's really been, I think, a couple months now since we've been in this specific chapter going through the life of our Lord, and it really is just truly, truly wonderful and truly incredible. And there's some things that we see over and over again in this prayer, which of course we see over and over again in God's word. Number one, we're reminded of the fact that we've been saved out of this world. Remember in Revelation 18:4, we're told, the believers are told, to come out of her, my people. Come out of Babylon, right? Come out of this fallen world system. And of course, follow Christ. And we have been saved out of Babylon as God's people. We've been saved out of the world. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4 says of Jesus that he gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. And presently, the world is in a fallen state. So there's a lot of evil in the world. Now there's a lot of good as well, because it's still God's world that he created, and it is good, and so much in it is good, though it's in a fallen state. But still, presently, with sin, there's a lot of evil. Christ has delivered us from this present evil world. And yet, though we've been saved out of the world, we have been kept in the world. And we see that here in this prayer. But we're not to be of the world, which we see in this prayer as well. Well, when you put that together, that we've been saved out of the world, kept in the world, but not to be of the world, we realize very quickly how much we need God's word. Because that's a very interesting and difficult spot we find ourselves in. And by the word of God, by the grace of God, through his word, we're able to not only get through, but to redound to the glory of God as we live this life. And I mentioned this a few weeks back, that in this prayer, and again, there's only 26 verses in John 17, but in this prayer, these 26 verses, 20 times the world is mentioned. Again, the world mentioned 19 times and the word earth mentioned once. Over 40 times the people of God are mentioned. 10 times the word of God is mentioned, and 9 times the word glory is found as well. So you kind of put it all together, as we've been saying. We as God's people have been saved out of the world, yet kept in the world, not of the world, for the glory of God. And in this journey, we desperately need the word of God. We desperately need the word of God. Now, much of this we saw last time together. So a couple weeks ago now, in verses 13 through 16, where our Lord said, I come to thee, or now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. We talked about the fact that the very thing that brings us joy, and Jesus said this already earlier this very night. He said again in verse 13, I speak these things that they might have joy. So God's word gives us joy, but it also makes us hate it. So the same thing that gives us joy causes the world to often hate us as God's people. And yet it is God's will to not take us out of the world, but to keep us in the world. Verse 15, I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. And we spoke at length about this a couple weeks ago, but just very, very quickly, it is not God's will for us to live as monks in monasteries. It is not God's will for us to to separate ourselves as much as we can from the world. Now, it is his will to sanctify us in this world, as we'll see today. It is his will to keep us from the evil in this world. As he says in verse 15, don't take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil in the world. So it is God's will that we would be righteous and holy, which of course we need his grace, obviously. Thank God we're righteous and holy in his sight now. But it's God's will that we would live righteously in a fallen world, but that we would be in the world doing that. Not that we look for every opportunity to separate from the world, but to be in the world rather, as salt, as light, honoring our Lord. And they said in verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Jesus came from heaven. Right? God the Son left glory to come to this world to save us from our sin. So he's not of the world, and we're no longer of the world either, as we are now in him. And so there's so much about God's word in this prayer. Even as we saw last time, it's the word of God that makes us hated. It's the word of God that gives us joy. Throughout this prayer, and really throughout this Bible, there's just so much about God's word. I know I've said this before, and obviously we'll say it again, but it is truly quite clearly, and if you read the Bible, and we all need to be reading our Bibles, obviously, as much as we can. When you read the Bible, very, very clearly, one of the main messages of the Bible is how much you need the Bible. It's just everywhere. It's literally thousands of places where the Bible will tell you how much and how desperately so you need God's word. And I hope that's why you're here at Lord of the Harvest Church, because you love God's word. Because we're obviously, we strive by the grace of God to be very serious about God's word here in this church. And we honestly, quite frankly, I think I speak for most of us, but I certainly speak for myself. We don't want you here if you're not serious about God's word, right? We absolutely not. You know, it always makes me laugh, and I know some of us talk about this too. You drive by all these churches, and they have these signs that all are welcome. And most certainly, all are not welcome here at this church, okay? Most certainly. You're welcome to repent, but then if not, then you're certainly welcomed and encouraged to leave, because we only want people in God's church who belong to God and who love God's word, who are serious about the word of God. And so because the Bible is so serious about these things, we want to be serious about these things. And we see it again this morning. Again, we see it again this morning, keeping in mind what we've been saying, what our Lord has been saying and praying, right? We're in the world, or saved out of the world first and foremost. You left in the world, not of the world. So that's a hard ask when you think about it. It's a difficult thing when you think about it. And so we need the word of God. We need to be sanctified by the word of God. And that's what we're going to look at here this morning. And so once again, verse 17, Jesus continues his prayer by saying, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So before we get into that, let's just make sure we are clear on a couple definitions here today. So we often talk about sanctification. We talked about that last week in our Mother's Day message about marriage in Ephesians chapter 5. We talked about that. And we also often talk about justification. And these are different, but obviously related. So just to be very clear what these things are and mean. When we speak of our justification, we are talking about the fact that God has declared us to now be righteous in his sight. A justified believer, that's really speaking of our salvation. Okay, one who is justified is one who is saved. One who has been forgiven of sin. Through faith in Jesus Christ, when we repent of our sins, God now sees his Son and not us, because we are in his Son and no longer in our sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21 so beautifully says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so Jesus takes our sin and gives us his righteousness. That is what happens when we are saved, right? That's what happens at salvation. He takes our sin and he gives us his righteousness. And we are now righteous in the sight of God. We are declared righteous, seen as righteous, even though we continue to sin in the sight of God. That's what is meant by justification. In the book of Romans, by the way, is all about all of this stuff. Justification, sanctification, how we're then to live as Christians. But it's a really great book about salvation, honestly. About the gospel, about salvation. So justification is us being declared righteous by God. Sanctification, the definition would be this, that we have now been set apart for God and from this world. So set apart for God and from this world. Now this is instantaneous at salvation in one respect. The moment we are justified, we are sanctified in a positional sense. Positionally, as a matter of fact, we at that moment are set apart by God, for God, from sin and from this world. And praise God for that, that we've been set apart for God and from this evil world. And yet, there's also a progressive aspect of this, where we continue to progress, we continue to mature, we continue to grow in Christ. We must continue to grow in Christ. We must continue to be sanctified in our Lord. You could think of sanctification as that which the Bible speaks of, how we're called to be conformed to the image of Christ. And the process of sanctification is us being conformed to Christ's image. And so the more we grow, the more we mature, the more we are being sanctified. And we referenced this last week also. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 says, "This is the will of God, your sanctification." So this is absolutely God's will that we are sanctified, that we are growing, that we are maturing, that we are being more and more conformed into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So the believer is absolutely justified, and the believer is absolutely sanctified and is being sanctified. And of course, one day we'll be glorified with our Lord. Well, both of these things, okay, so justification, us being forgiven, us being declared righteous, Jesus taking our sin and saving us, justification and sanctification, both of these things are entirely a work of God's sovereign grace. Both of them, from start to finish, everything about the Christian life is a work of God's sovereign grace. As the Apostle Paul said, "By the grace of God, I am what I am," in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. By the grace of God, we are what we are. And a major part of this grace, in fact, in a lot of ways, you could say the main part of this grace is God's word. It's God's word. It's God's word that not only saves us, but sanctifies us. So earlier this very night, John 15, verse 3, Jesus said, "Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." How are we saved? Through the word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So the word of God is what justifies us. And yet here, John 17, verse 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." So the word of God justifies us, and the word of God sanctifies us. Well, 1 Peter says the same thing also. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." So we are born again, we are made new, we are justified by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. And yet a few verses later, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, he says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. So we are justified by the word of God, and we are sanctified by the word of God. And by the way, when he says the sincere milk of the word, he's saying you can't water it down at all. Desire the non-watered down word of God. Whatever it says, and it means, and we love, and we embrace, and we praise God for. And so the word of God justifies, and the word of God sanctifies. So a major part of this grace, as we said, that everything in the Christian life is by sovereign grace, and a major part of this grace is this word. And that's exactly what our Lord is saying to us here this morning. So again, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Truth matters most. We say that all the time also, because it's true. Truth matters most. There's nothing else in this world that matters more than the truth. Now, the reason why truth matters most is because the triune God is truth. We're told in Scripture that God is the God of truth. We're told that the Spirit is the Spirit of truth. We're told that Jesus is the truth. So Father, Son, and Spirit, our triune God, are the God of truth. The God of truth. Pontius Pilate very famously asked, in fact, just a few hours from now, as Jesus is very shortly going to go to the cross, the very next day, dying. And so some hours later, in John 18, verse 38, and we'll be there eventually, Pilate says to Jesus in the course of one of his trials, "What is truth? What is truth?" And that, of course, is a question that the world continues to ask, and they don't really ask it in a good way. They tend to ask it in such a way as, does truth even exist? What is truth? And how am I to know what truth is? And maybe your truth is different than my truth, and all of that kind of nonsense. Well, we know exactly what truth is. Truth is God and his word. Truth is God and his word. So Jesus says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So it's his truth and it's his word. And again, that's so important to understand. All truth is God's. Okay, all truth is God's, and therefore whatever is true not only demands our attention, but demands our loyalty. Whatever is true not only demands our attention, but it demands our unequivocal loyalty to it. First and foremost, our loyalty lies with the truth. In any situation, it lies with the truth. And of course, that's because God is truth. So sanctify them through thy truth. This is your truth. Your word, of course, is truth. Something else we've said so many times, and we, of course, will continue to say, there is no neutrality. We say that all the time. There is no neutrality in this life. We are either for Christ or we are against Christ. And there's no middle ground, as we know. There's no middle ground. But that also extends to the truth. The truth is not neutral. Okay, the truth is not neutral. Every true thing in this world, every true fact, every true science, every true word, anything that is true in this world points us to God. Because truth is inherently not neutral. For anything to be true, God must exist. I don't know if you ever thought about that before. But for anything to even be true at all, God must exist. If there is no God, there is no truth. And so just to even pretend there is a silly, foolish thing to do. For anything at all, in any respect, in any science, in any way, to be true, God must be, and of course God is, and God is true. Colossians chapter 2, verse 3 says of our Lord that in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So All wisdom, all knowledge is found in Jesus Christ. All wisdom, all knowledge, all truth is found in our triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So for anything to be true, God must exist. We know things are true. Things have to be true. You couldn't have the world if you didn't have truth. Well, yeah, because you couldn't have the world if you didn't have God, right? He created the world. He created everything. He holds everything together. And so anything that anyone could ever do or ever know is because of God and his word. That's not an overstatement. That's not an exaggeration. Anything that anyone could ever do or ever know is because of God and his word. Because all truth is God. So sanctify them through thy truth. I hope we really get this. And I hope we're really serious about this. And I said before that I think hope, that's why you're here, because you're serious about God's word. But I really do hope and pray that we understand this and we'll understand it more. I want to understand this more myself. That every bit of truth belongs to God and none of it is neutral and all of it demands our loyalty. And it's all because of the word of God that we know truth. And so we need to get this. We need to be serious about this. We need to be people of the word then, as we say all the time. People reading the word of God, people loving the word of God, people hearing the word of God in church like this. That's a very important grace as we talk about. The Bible is very clear. Ephesians 4 talks about the fact that God gave pastors and teachers to mature his saints, to equip his saints, to grow us, to sanctify us. And so we need to hear the word of God, not just simply read the word of God. We absolutely need to be doing both, obviously. And so are we, in every way, people of the book? And that's just something for you to think about in your own life, because God knows and you know, and God knows better than you know, of course. But are we people of God's word? Are we people who really do love and cling to and stand on the words of the living God? I pray we're not people who are at all ashamed of God's word in any way, as of course our Lord told us that if you're ashamed of me and my words, I will be ashamed of you at my coming, in Luke 9:26. So we're not ashamed of God's word. We are those who love his word. Well, I said before that anything that anyone could ever do or ever know is because of God and his word. Well, if that's true, then obviously, right? Like really obviously, the way we are sanctified then is through the word. If the way we can do anything in this world or know anything in this world is because God is true and his word is true, then certainly the way we are sanctified is through his word. That's why Jesus prays this. He prays, sanctify them through thy truth. And if we're wondering what that is, thy word is truth. So sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. And this was when Paul was leaving the church of Ephesus there. And he says, really in his prayer, "Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." Again, I commend you now to God and to the word of his grace. So I said before that everything from start to finish in the Christian life is by God's sovereign grace. Well, it's the word of his grace that most of that happens, as we said before. So it's all by God's grace, and it's the word of his grace that justifies us and sanctifies us and does whatever needs to be done in us. And that word is able to build us up and to give us an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. That word sanctifies us and continues to sanctify us. We saw this last week. Again, if you were here, we're in Ephesians chapter 5. And verse 25 and 26, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And then verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Recall, as we said, that husbands are to so love their wives, they're to have a sanctifying effect on their wives, just as Christ so loves and sanctifies his church. We're told in verse 26, Christ sanctifies and cleanses his church with the washing of water by the word. So the word of God, in essence, when we read God's word, when we hear God's word, it's as if we're taking a really good bath. It's as if God's word is washing away all of the filth and the stain and teaching us how to continue to do so. God's word cleanses God's child. It teaches God's child. It matures God's child. And nothing else does that. Okay? So if you're not in the Bible, you're none of those things. Okay? It's pretty obvious. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So God's word teaches us, corrects us, instructs us, matures us, that we may be perfect or matured, equipped, furnished unto all good works. Whatever God has for us is found in his word and given to us through his word. And he certainly desires, wills, prays that we be sanctified. And we are sanctified through that same word. We need to understand that God's word is always up to the task. Whatever it is we need, whatever wisdom we need or knowledge we need, whatever grace we need to overcome any sin or confusion or pain, whatever it is, God's word is always up to the task. There's so many verses we could read, but just to read one text, Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11 says this, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." Again, what have we said? We're justified by God's word also. "So the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward." Wonderful text there, Psalm 19, really about the two books God wrote, creation and then the Bible. And both are true, of course, and both are perfect. Obviously, now creation is fallen, of course, but creation is still good itself. God created it good. But the word of God is completely perfect and always up to the task. So whatever we need, we must be in God's word for. Again, we just need to be in God's word more. All of us, we need the word of God. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So if you want to, and if you're a Christian, you need to want this. If you don't want this, you're not a Christian, so don't take the Lord's Supper later. If you want to grow in the Lord, then you need to be in his word. If you want to grow in the Lord, then we absolutely need to, and we should want to be in his word. It should feel as if it's something we can't live without. It's not that we're perfect when it comes to these things. None of us are, but I can speak for myself. There are times when it's not even that I want to read the Bible so much as I feel like I need to read the Bible. And again, we're not always going to want to do things. That's one of those lies that people tell themselves. Actually, Satan, I think, tells us that You need to want to do something before you do it. If you don't want to do it, then you're being a hypocrite. No, you need to just do it, right? When it comes to what we have to do, we just have to do it. Whatever it is, we just have to do it. And we have the grace of God and the word of God to help us. And so sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Look at verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. So God the Son was sent by God the Father into this world. We understand that. In fact, Jesus refers to himself in John 10:36 as him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent unto the world. So Jesus has been sent into the world, of course, by the Father. A body was prepared for him, Hebrews 10:5, so that he could die for our sin. And if we think about it, and if we read the Bible, I think we could say that Jesus probably would have rather not come to the world. Did Jesus really want to leave glory and take on human flesh and suffer and die and do all that he did? Did he really want to do that? I mean, it seems to me, even this very night, he's about to pray, Father, if it's your will, let this cup depart from me. Obviously, he knew, and we knew that it's not God's will. The death of Christ was God's will. Remember, earlier this very prayer, verses 4 and 5, Jesus remembers his former glory, longs for it, can't wait to get back to it. He now is, praise God, seated in glory at the right hand of the Father, ruling and reigning over all things at all times already. Praise God. Love the fact that the reign of Christ is not a future reality, it's a present reality. A future reality is the physical reign of Christ on earth. He's already reigning over all things, praise God. But it seems to me Jesus probably would have rather not had to come and do all of this. Yet he was sent into the world by the Father. And then he says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And we know this. We just read this last week, verse 15 again. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. So Jesus is saying, just as I was sent into the world, now I'm sending them into the world. You sent me, and I send them. And though we are not God, and our death will not save anyone from sin, there's still, even for us as God's people, much work to do. And though we would rather not do it a lot of the time, and probably, if we think about it, a lot of times it sounds really good to just be in heaven, or it would sound really good if the Lord would return and things would be what they're going to be one day, and praise God for that day. But though that sounds really good, and we maybe would wish for that day right now, the Lord says, I've sent you into this world right now. Just as he was sent, so he sends us. He wants us here right now. And not only here, but out there, as we said. Not only here in church and with his people, which we need, of course, but he wants us out there also. He was sent into the world. He sends us into the world. He wants us to be his ambassadors, as 2 Corinthians 5:20 says. He wants us to be his faithful witnesses, his gospel witness, his salt and his light in this world. And he has us here, as Esther chapter 4, verse 14 so famously puts it, for such a time as this. He has us here right now, in this time, in this year, in this exact place on planet Earth, for such a time as this. It was ordained by the Father that Christ would come into the world and die at that exact time. It's been ordained by God that his people would be kept in the world and sent into the world for these exact times that we are in also. And so he was sent into the world, and now he wants to send us into the world. And as we mentioned last week also, being in the world first and foremost means doing the quote-unquote normal things. Getting married and having kids, living like a person in the world, right? Putting your family first, doing the normal things. And of course, we do the normal things by the normal means of grace. And so Jesus has sent us into the world, just as he was sent into the world. And so before we move on to verse 19, just something else to point out. If our experience is now the same as Christ's experience, not dying for sin, obviously not being God and performing miracles and writing the Bible, right? But we too are sent into the world, a place we'd rather not be, just as Christ was sent into the world, probably a place he would rather not be. The fact that we have the same experience means that Jesus knows exactly what it's like. Jesus knows exactly what it's like to be in the world and not of the world. Because that's exactly what Jesus did. Hebrews chapter 4, I won't read it, but it tells us that Jesus is our faithful high priest. It tells us that as our high priest, he knows exactly what it's like to be human because he's human. He knows exactly what it's like to be tempted to sin because he was tempted to sin, but of course he did not sin. So he knows exactly what it's like to be in the world and to suffer thirst and hunger and be tired and have pain and suffer and die. He knows exactly what these things are like, and so his grace is always sufficient for us. It's not just the grace of one who is way up there and doesn't from experience know what it's like. It's grace from one who knows exactly what it's like. That's pretty amazing. That's really pretty amazing. And so he knows what it's like, and he also promises to be ever with us. And he is ever with us through his Holy Spirit. And we've talked, amen. And we've talked a lot about the Holy Spirit in the recent months here in John 14, 15, 16, and 17. And God is with us through God the Spirit. And through the Spirit, through the Word, he gives us the grace we need. And what will most of this grace be? The Word of God, right? The Word of grace, spoken and heard and read and believed. The normal means of grace. How does the Holy Spirit work? Through the Word of God. How are we sanctified? Through the Word of God. How does God give us grace? Through the Word of God. And just think about it, right? Just think about it. These are the words of the living God. This is a book that God wrote. Of course, this is how grace comes to us. Of course, this is how grace comes to us. And we need this word and we need this grace so, so very much. So Christ was sent into the world. We are sent by Christ into the world. And then verse 19, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Amen and praise God to that. I mean, truly, Jesus was set apart to do his Father's will, was he not? Jesus was sanctified. Jesus set himself apart to do the Father's will. We read that over and over and over again in the Bible, in John's Gospel specifically. We read it over and over and over again. Just read a few things. So John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. John 6, verse 38, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. John 7, verse 16, Jesus said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. John 9, verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night comes when no man can work. Jesus did the will of his Father. He set himself apart. He sanctified himself to do his Father's will. The ultimate will, the ultimate reason for him coming was to die as our perfect sacrifice, thus becoming our perfect high priest, thus justifying and sanctifying his people, his church. Jesus then was sanctified so we could be sanctified. For their sakes, I sanctify myself. For our sakes, because he loved us, for our sake, Jesus sanctified himself, went to the cross, of course, rose again 3 days later, so that we too could be sanctified. And we are positionally sanctified through faith in his perfect work, and we are progressively sanctified through his Spirit and his Word. And all of this is entirely a work of God's sovereign grace. And so, given the situation we find ourselves in once more this morning, and we will close with this, given this situation where we have been saved out of the world, yet kept in the world, not to be of the world, given that situation, we desperately need help from on high, don't we? We desperately need grace from God. We desperately need to be sanctified. We are sanctified by the word of his grace. Again, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. See, Jesus knows that this is a big ask. This is an impossible task, what he has left us here to do, what he wants us here to do, to be in this fallen world, this evil world, and to live as his people and to honor him and to be his lights and to be his salt and his witnesses and his ambassadors and to have children and raise those children in him and to do all the things that Christians are supposed to do. That is an impossible task. Apart from his sovereign grace, apart from his perfect word. So given this situation, we need God's word today. God's word is truth. Truth matters most. Truth is not neutral. We cannot be neutral. We must be loyal always to the truth, and it's the truth that will sanctify us. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So praise God for his word. Praise God for his grace. Praise God for these things. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do want to praise you here this morning. And we do need your grace to be able to praise you and to be able to understand these things and certainly to be sanctified as you really, not only will for us, but command us to be sanctified in you. Well, thank you that you've told us this morning how that happens. That we are sanctified through the truth, and it's your word which is truth. So God, we're asking that you give us grace now to love your word more, to be in your word more, to be matured more and conformed to your image more, which we know will happen as we love and read and hear and obey the precious words of our Lord, the words of the living God. So help us all, we pray, Lord, as we live in this world and yet not of this world, help us. Let us keep going each day by your grace and your word. And as we come to your supper now, we pray you bless us and prepare us. And again, may only those who are truly Christians partake. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.